Today is the final day of Hanukkah for this year. It's called V'zos Hanukkah. This is Hanukkah, and it's taken from the reading of the Torah that we had in Shul today, which covered V'zos Hanukkah HaMizbeach. This is the dedication of the Mizbeach. So from that reading, V'zos Hanukkah HaMizbeach, comes the words V'zos Hanukkah. This is the highlight, the highest point of Hanukkah, when we have all eight candles burning. And I just want to close out Hanukkah with some new thoughts. There's always new thoughts of Torah that people think of. So I'm going to try to, just like there was a nest that one Par Shemen lasted for 8 days, so this year, hopefully we'll be able to have chedushim from a few people. The first one I'm going to give over is from my son, the second is from myself, and the third from Rabbi Schlesinger Shlita. Let's begin with the one I heard from my son. He's a Rosh Kollel in Lakewood, the Kollel Zichron Gershon, and he shared with me a thought which I think is a very, very good thought. And what it comes to explain is the following. There is a group in Klal Yisrael that goes out in the marketplace, so to speak, and lights Hanukkah menorahs all over. In fact, they are very concerned about their legal rights to do it all over the United States. We had just last night, I was told that Governor Spitzer was right here in front of the OU. There was a big menorah, and he was lighting it. I didn't have the privilege to see that happen, but I was told that it did happen. And the question is, why doesn't the majority of Klal Yisrael light Hanukkah menorahs out in the street, in the marketplace? We don't do that. It says in the Masechta Shabbos, the Chof Alfam Beis, that mitzvah sner Chanukah, it's a mitzvah laniach al Pesach beisrei mibachutz. You put it on the doorway going out to the street. But it doesn't say that you put the menorah in the street. That it doesn't say. So we're not here to criticize anybody else, but at least maybe to understand why not everybody does that minhag. So that's what my son wanted to explain. And he based it on a medrash. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim explains a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk states as follows: Hadudoyim nasnu reyach. The dudoyim, Rashi in Parshas Vayetze tells us that that the doyim are sigle, and sigle is jasmine, or Rashi elsewhere says it's a violet. So these flowers gave a beautiful reyach, a beautiful fragrance. And what does this refer to? Zed dudoyim shel Ruvein. These are the flowers of Ruvein, which will soon explain what those flowers were all about. Then the pasuk continues in Shir HaShirim, Va'al pesacheinu kol megadim, and all delicacies were at our doors. Zed ner Chanukah. This refers to ner Chanukah. Chadoshim gam yeshonim, there's new and there's old. What is that referred to? Zeh Torah Shebiksav v'Torah Shebapeh. That's the written Torah and the oral Torah. So the written Torah would be what the pasuk refers to as Yeshanim, the old ones, and the new ones, the Chadashim, are what the Chazal took out from the written Torah and made what we call the oral Torah that was handed down from generation to generation, until the oral Torah itself had to be written down because people began to forget Torah, so it had to be written down. So the question is, my son was trying to understand what it's like, an enigma. And everybody speaks about this medrash, the famous medrash. What does the flowers of Reuven have to do with the Chanukah menorah, Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebapeh? What's it all about? So he wanted to suggest the following. The story of Reuven's flowers is found in Parshas Vayetze at Revi. Vayelech Reuven bimei tzirachitim, and Reuven went in the days of the wheat harvest. Vayimtza dudor and basara. He found these jasmine or violets in the field. Vayavar esam aleya imo. He brought it as a present to Leah, his mother. Vatomer Rachel aleya. Rachel saw that Leah had these beautiful, good smelling flowers. So she said to Leah, Tani na limu dudoi benet. Give me from the flowers that your son brought you. Vatomer lo. So Leah said to Rachel, Hama'at kachteches ishi, isn't it enough that you took away my husband? V'lokachas gamas dudoi b'ni, and you're going to take also my flowers for my son? So the Meforshim point out over here to what extent Rachel, I forgot the exact pshat, but what I do remember is that Rachel hid the fact, we gave a previous shear, that Rachel knew that she was supposed to be Yaakov's wife, and that the presents, for example, that Yaakov was sending Rachel, which wound up Lavan transferred those presents to Leah, and Leah thought that she was the real shidduch of Yaakov, and then Rachel gave Leah the simonim, and she kept quiet, but she made it such a way that Leah says in this pasuk, you took my husband. What do you mean I took your husband? That was, it was supposed to be Rachel's husband. Leah is the one who took Rachel's husband. And here, so somehow, I forgot the exact shot, but somehow Rachel made it that Leah thought that she's the real wife of Yaakov, and that Rachel is the one who came in second place and really took her husband away from her, when it was really just the opposite. So we see the tremendous tzidkus of Rachel and how tzniyus and quiet she was, that Leah had the impression that she's the real shidduch. That's a side point I just wanted to point out. But anyway, when Leah says this, Vatoymer Rachel, Lachain, Yishkav Imochalila, Tachas Dunay Benech. So Rachel says, okay, give me flowers, and Yaakov will be with you tonight instead of with me. And it says, Vayava Yaakov and Asada, Yaakov came from the field, by Erev at night, Vateitse Leah Lekrosai, Leah went out to greet him, Vatomer, and she said, Eli Tavoy, come to me, Ki Sochor Sichartichah B'dudoi B'ni. I hired you, paid for you by giving the flowers of my son. And it says that Yaakov came to her, and then the pasuk says, "Vayishma lekima Leah," and Hashem listened to Leah, that even though Leah wasn't supposed to have any more children, she had four already. Vatar vatel Yaakov ben Chamish, she had a fifth son, which was Yisachar, and then she had a sixth son, who was Zevulun. So these are the flowers that the Medrash is referring to here in Shir HaShirim. Hadudoim nasnu reich. These flowers gave off a good smell. Zedudoim shal Reuven. These are the flowers of Reuven. So the Medrash says on this, Melamed shaloi hinichoi soy lirchot raglov. She didn't even let, as soon as Yaakov came home, when they used to travel, they used to get dirt in their feet. So she didn't even let him wash his feet off. Atomer elai tovai, come to me. Amar Rabavua, says Rabavua, Tzipa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem saw, Shaloi Hoysa Kavanasa Ela L'Shem Shemayim, that her Kavana was only L'Shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven, L'Hamid Shvatim, to make more tribes. In other words, Rachel wasn't at that time able to have more tribes. Leah had ended her four children, and she gave over that her maidservant had two more children, but she had finished. So she had a desire, even though she, Beder Chateva, naturally she wasn't supposed to have more children, but she said, there's still more Shvatim to be created. And Rachel apparently, so far, she's an Akar, she's not able to have children. So she hoped that she would be able to have more children. Lefika Chitzuch HaKosev Leimur, that's what the Pasuk had to say, Vayishma Elekim Eleah, Hashem, listen to Leah. What's the Pasuk trying to say? That Leah wanted to be with Yaakov only for one reason, L'Shem Shemayim, to have more children, more Shvatim. Then she said, Vatomer Eloi Tov, come to me, Yaakov. Omer Rav Levi, boy Urei, look and see, my Yofa Hoysa Sarsarusan shall do done. The business of the flowers, it was a very good business for Leah. Lifnei Misha Omer Vahoy Oilam, Hashem liked what Leah did with the flowers.
Shal yidei hadudorim, because of those flowers, umdu shnei shvatim gedolim yisrael, two tribes, great tribes were established amongst the Jewish people. Which were the tribes? Yisachar uzvulun, Yisachar yoshe v'osik batoriz, Yisachar learned Torah all day, uzvulun yotze b'yamim, Zvulun went out to do business in the oceans. Ubov and Nisan Lutach Pivshal Yisachar, whatever he made profit, he would split it, he would half for himself, and half he gave for Yisachar. And that's the famous relationship, Yisachar and Zvulun. I give the profits half to Yisachar, and half of the learning, the reward in the world to come for the learning of Yisachar, who learned all day, is given to Zvulun. And since without Zvulun there could be no Yisachar, that's why we find Zvulun is even mentioned before Yisachar. Because he caused the Torah of Yisachar. If Yisachar wouldn't have had any Parnassah, he wouldn't have been able to learn Torah. So Zvulun is even mentioned, even though Zvulun was born after Yisachar, he's mentioned the Torah before Yisachar. And as a result of this partnership between Yisachar and Zvulun, HaTorah Rabbah Yisrael, there's a lot of Torah amongst the Jewish people. That's the pshat in the pasuk, Vahadudoyim, the jasmine, or the violets, these flowers, Nasnu Reyach, they gave over a smell. What was the smell? That Torah is furthered amongst the Jewish people through this partnership. So far it sounds like what Leah did was a very good thing. It says further, Dover Acher, it says in a medrash further in Bereishis, yes, the pasuk says in the brachas of Yaakov to his children, Yisachar chamor gorim, the chamor caused it. What does it mean, the chamor caused it? Various pshatim, but one pshat is, chamor gorim, oisoi, v'chiminai in hois oleya yada shebo Yaakov. How did Leah know that Yaakov arrived? They didn't have a cell phone in those days, they didn't have email, that I'm home, how did she know? Elo noha kachamor. The chamor, when it arrived at the house, it neighed, it made a sound. Vishama koila, and Leah heard the voice of the chamor. Viyotzisol across her, she went out to meet her husband Yaakov. That's how she knew. So that's what it means when Yaakov said to Yisachar, Yisachar chamor gorim. The chamor caused that Yisachar should be created, because Leah went out to Yaakov and she said, you're supposed to be with me. And then as a result, Yisachar was born. So from so far from the Medrash, it sounds that Leah did a very good thing, and Hashem was very happy with the smell, the fragrant smell that came about, the Torah that was increased in Klal Yisrael from this. So the question is, my son asked the question, there's another Medrash that Rashi brings down that seems that what Leah did was not good. Because Rashi says that by Vateitze Dina, Dina went out to Shechem, and she got in trouble over there in Shechem. So the Chazal say, you know what Dina did wrong? She was a Yitzonis. She went out. She was the opposite of what a Jewish woman's supposed to be, which is a Tzanua. She's supposed to be it's modest, and not to go out. And Chazal say, oh, you know where Dina got this from? Like mother, like daughter. Because Vateitze Leah, Leah went out to Yaakov, so the daughter did the same thing. She went out to Shechem, and then she got into trouble by Shechem. Here it seems that Leah did something wrong, and the other Chazal are seeming to say did something very good, and Hashem was very happy. What's going on here? So the answer that my son suggested is, that's the next part of the so far we understand two parts of the Medrash we started with. Hadudoim nasnu reich zedudoim shal Ruvein. That's the story of Ruvein, and it brought about a sweet smell of Yisachar Zvulun. Torah through the partnership was created. And that, now we understand the end of the Medrash. That what does this mean? Chadoshim gam yeshanim, the old and the new, refers to Torah Shemiksav and Torah Shemapeh. How did that happen? That happened through Yisachar and Zvulun, that there was a furtherance of Torah in the world. Very good. What's the Al Pesachenu kol megadim? By our doors are all delicacies. This refers to Ner Chanukah. What's Ner Chanukah doing in the middle? The answer my son suggested is that Ner Chanukah gives us the answer to the question, Did Leah do a good thing or did she not do a good thing? The answer is she did a very good thing. But her daughter picked up her midah of Vayetze, but she misused it. Why? Why did she misuse it? Because Leah went, Yisachar Chamor Gorim. Leah didn't go out into Times Square looking for Yaakov. Leah stayed in her house. When she heard the Chamor, when she heard the donkey making a sound, so then she went out. And where was she when she went out? She was right there at the entrance of her house, at Pesach Beisoy. Al Pesachenu Kol Megadim. All our delicacies are by our door. Zen Ner Chanukah. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is not to go out into the marketplace. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Al Pesach Beisoy Mechutz. In other words, you have a Jewish home. We spoke about it at the Chanukah Mesiba here in the OU. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, as Rav Sansifal Hirsch explained, is the light of Judaism. That light has to shine not only in your house, but it has to affect your friend, your neighbor in the outside world. But where's the source of the light? The source of the light is right by the door of your house. It's the Kedusha of your house, the light of Torah of your house that emanates into the street. But it's grounded in your house. It's not grounded out in Times Square or in the park here outside the OU. That's chutz. So Leah did very good. Vateitzeh, that going out was good because it was right by her house. When she heard the chamor, she went out. So she's connected to her house. That's fine. But Dina took that midah, which was used properly, and Vateitzeh Dina. So the people say, like mother, like daughter. Yes, they both went out. Vateitzeh Leah and Vateitzeh Dina. But Leah did it correctly by the door of the house. And Dina took that midah and she did it incorrectly. So that's how the Chanukah menorah ties up all together. You know when Adudoim Nasna Reyach, when there's a good smell from these flowers which Leah used to get Yaakov, and from that came out Yisach and Zvulun, and from that came out Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh. You know when? When you follow the Chanukah menorah. The Chanukah menorah is Al Pesachenu Kol Megadim. All delicacies are by the door, but not like Dina, Vateitzeh Dina, who she went out. So that, I think it's a beautiful pshat, and I'm happy to say it over in my son's name.
Your son said?
This is my son. He put it all together. Very nice. Yeah, it's very nice. Okay, next. Now comes my little chiddush that I was mechadish. I don't know if it's going to be as good as my son, but when I was lighting the Chanukah menorah on the first night of Chanukah, I started saying Haneiros Halolu, and then the question came to me, what do you mean Haneiros Halolu? Right now there's only one Ner. You put on a Shamus, that's because you're not supposed to read a book, let's say, using their Kodesh. The Neiros Chanukah are holy, so you can't use them for any other purpose. So I have a Shamus. Really, some say today you have an electric light in the room. You may not even need a Shamus, because if you read something, you're using the electric light. But the Ner that you're lighting on first night of Chanukah, how many candles are you lighting that are holy? One candle. So what should you say? Not Haneiros Halolu in the plural, but you should say Haner Hazeh. This candle is holy. Why do you say Haner Halolu? So somebody pointed out to me that the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, brings from the Marshal that it means like this: Haner Halolu. These candles, which I'm going to light tonight and all the other 7 days of Chanukah, 8 days altogether. How many candles are there? You figure it out. You add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You get 36. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Haneiros Halolu, these Neiros, with the following words after Haneiros Halolu, you'll count them up and you'll get 36 words. But says the Mishnah Berurah, don't add on Haneiros Halolu Kodesh Haim, because if you put in the word Haim, you're going to get 37 words and then it won't fit in. Don't say the word Haim. This is the pshat. So what's the Mishnah Berurah trying to say? When you light the light the first night, it's Haner Hazeh. No, but you're referring Haner, all the candles that you get in the box. You know those colorful candles that you get in a box? You count them up. I never counted them. But I imagine there's exactly what you need for 8 shamashim and 36. I believe the amount is 44. 36 candles and eight. On Neiros alone, the 36 candles, including tonight, that's the pshat. Now, the problem what I have, I don't know the correct answer. Number one, I think almost the whole world says Kodesh Heim. So you get 37. And the bigger problem I had, that I took the time the other day, I was telling this over a pshat to somebody in shul, so I said, yeah, look, you count it up, and it's 36 words. I counted it up, there's 45 words, I think. There's much more than 36 words. So he said, if you go back to the original source where this came from, and there's, well, maybe over there there's only 36 words, they added on. Anyway, the pshat needs further explanation. So I want to suggest a different pshat. I once gave a shiur, and we have it in the Good Vort series, and I'm not going to go through the whole shiur, but I'm just going to give the addition. We gave a shiur about, we say about the Neiros Chanukah, Umi Noisar Kankanim Nasa Neis Lashashanim. And we explained that the Nes of Chanukah comes from the concept of Noisar. We explained from the Panovich Rav, Rav Naftali Friedler Zatzal, that they explained there are two words in Hebrew that seem to be identical, but they're really different. One is noisar, and one is nishar, leftover. What's the difference between noisar and nishar? The difference is, nishar means I am leftover from you, but I have nothing to do with you. I'm a separate category. But noisar means I'm part of whatever you went through and suffered, let's say. I'm part of that, but I was spared. Like we brought an example, Nadav Avihu perished, and Elazar v'Yisomer stayed alive. So when Moshe spoke to Elazar v'Yisomer, he said, he spoke to Aaron, Ve'elbonav ha'noisarim. His leftover children, says Rashi, that really Elazar v'Yisomer also should have perished. But Moshe's tefillah made it that they did not perish. They survived. So a survivor means that I survived, I was part of the group that something should have happened to me, but I survived. Now, what's the difference if I'm a nishar or a noisar? I survived in both cases. The difference is if I'm a noisar and I'm part of the group, so if I survived, I ask myself the question, why did I survive? Why didn't this happen to me? It must be that Hashem wants me for the rest of my life to make up the loss of what happened to the others. I can't lead a life independent of what happened to the others. I'm part of that group. I had the gzeira, which really goes on me also, and I survived. What purpose? To make up the loss. So therefore, that's the pshat. The Yevonim came into the Beis Hamikdash with a plan. V'timu kol hashmanim. They wanted to defile every single crucible of oil. They did it, every one they were successful. They missed one. And the Hashmonaim found one crucible with the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. The only one that was tor, that was not contaminated by the Yevonim. And that one, it didn't just light one light for one night. Hashem put in that one, that if you survive, and it's going to take another 7 days until they're able to process a new pure oil, the run. One of the Rishonim tells us that's the amount of time it took to produce another tor oil. So what's going to happen for 7 days? There's not going to be any oil. So then I have to make up the loss. So that Pach Shemen made up the loss of the other 7 days. And it burned for a total of 8 days. So that's what I said is the pshat. When I look at this one candle on the first night of Hanukkah, I don't just see one candle there. I see Haneiros Halolu. I see that this candle that I'm lighting, why am I lighting it? I'm lighting it, this candle, the Beis Yosef asked, there was enough to last for 1 day, so there's no miracle on the first day. So what am I lighting a candle the first day? Start the second day when the miracle of the light started, the second day. First day I had enough oil. So the answer is, yes, he had enough oil. The miracle was that this Pach Shemen had in it the ability to make up the loss of the other seven. It didn't just burn for itself. That's what we say in the Moisur, Umi Noisar Kankanim, Nasa Nes Lashashanim. The Shashanim refers to the Hashmonaim. And the point that Rashi says in Shir HaShirim is that the Hashmonaim understood that if they're the only ones who are still religious, they can't keep the religion for themselves. They have to make up the loss of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the same lesson that you have in the leftover oil, that's what the Chashmonaim understood is their mission. Their mission is to make up. And just like a thorn pricks the red rose, the Goyim tried to take Klal Yisrael away from its mission. And yet Klal Yisrael says, no, I will not be deterred from my mission. I will remain a red rose, a beautiful red rose, as Rashi explains in Shir HaShirim. So the Chashmonaim said, Mi Lashem Elai, who's Hashem, come to me. They challenged the Jewish people to live up to their greatness of being a beautiful red rose. So Minoiser Kankanim, Nasa Nes Lashoshanim, those red roses, the Chashmonaim, who are referred to as Shoshanim, red roses, they took the principle of Noser. Noser means, I don't just live for myself, I live to make up any loss that Klal Yisrael has experienced. So, Haner Azeh. No, it's not Haner Azeh. This one Ner is Haneros Halalu. In this one Ner lies all the other Neros that haven't been lit for the other 7 days. That is my Chiddush. And now we go to Rav Schlesinger. And we have a few minutes to try to compact Rabbi Schlesinger's thought. He, Rabbi Schlesinger, discussed a famous Rambam. The Rambam says a Lashon in concerning Chanukah that he doesn't say anywhere else. What does the Rambam say? Mitzvahs ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of the candle of Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It is a precious mitzvah very much. V'tzarech adam lizarbo, and a person has to be very careful with the Ner Chanukah. So the question is, a person is not, for example, a mitzvah or learning Torah. You can't say, this subject matter is geschmack. I enjoy it very much. This part of Torah is boring. It's not a right thing. It's Torah of Hashem, the same Hashem who made the enjoyable and made the... It's Hashem, the same a mitzvah. Oh, this mitzvah I love to do. This mitzvah, nah, I don't like it so much. Yeah, it's Hashem, Asher, Kirishanu, Mitzvaysa, Vitzivanu. Hashem commanded each mitzvah. You have to, it might be hard, but what's the goal? The goal is to try to do each mitzvah and learn each piece of Torah with the same enthusiasm. So what does the Rambam mean when he's telling us it's a mitzvah? Oh, this one is chaviva. This is a geshmaka mitzvah. And should we say that he's speaking, that he's looking at it from Hashem's vantage point, that Hashem considers it, the Rambam is not speaking about how Hashem looks at the mitzvah. The Rambam is speaking to us because he tells us, Tzorech Adam Lizorba, you have to be very careful with the mitzvah because it's a very precious one. So that's one question that he had. The other question he had is, we find something by Chanukah you don't find anywhere else. There's a mitzvah, one candle in a house, but if you want to do it Mahadran, more beautiful, each person in the house lights one candle. You do it Mahadran, Mina Mahadran, then you go from 1 to 8. That's how we paskin. Mal and Mekodesh Lom Meridin. You go up, you don't go down. And each day you increase by one. And our minig is that we basically have one... not everybody in the family lights. Because if you go everybody in the family lights, it means every man, woman, and child would light. But the question is, why is there usually we know by a mitzvah, the husband comes home, he makes kiddush, he's motzi everybody around the table. Everybody drinks a little of the wine, but who's making the kiddush? Not every person makes the kiddush. You're motzi, you're doing it for everybody else. So why over here is there a beautification of the mitzvah that each person should light it himself? Why don't we do what we do all over the Torah? One person does it for everybody. That's another question. So it's interesting, the Beis Yosef's question, which I mentioned before, is why do you light a candle the first night? There was no mitzvah, there was no miracle with the first night. This question was posed by the Beis Yosef, the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber of the whole Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef. And what's interesting, Shlesinger said a very interesting thing. He thinks that nowhere else in the Torah, except last week's Parsha, Parsha Miketz, do you have the expression Beis Yosef in the Parsha. It says they came to Yosef's house in the palace
So the Torah a few times refers to it as Beis Yosef. So he says, very interesting, almost anywhere you go on Hanukkah, if people are discussing Torah, which question are they discussing? The Beis Yosef's question is probably the most famous question in all of Jewish liturgy, and I mentioned that there's a sefer, Ner Lamea, that has over 100 answers to the question, and a recent sefer that came out, I think I saw over 500 answers to this one question. So, and it's interesting that in the Parsha, because everything is hinted to in the Torah, Parsha's Miketz, where everybody's discussing the Beis Yosef's question, that's the one Parsha in the Chumash where you have the expression in the Chumash of Beis Yosef. So, the Pre-Chadosh, a sefer, gives an answer, one of the hundreds of answers, that the nest the first night was on finding the oil. That they found oil. So the simple pshat is that they could have overlooked that one. There were hundreds of crucibles of oil. They found one. So that itself is a nest. That's the simple pshat. Rabbi Schlesinger learned it in a much deeper way. Someone wrote Rav Huttner a letter and trying to explain this Rambam of Chaviv. It's a mitzvah Chaviv, a precious mitzvah. And he said, you know what it's referring to? It's referring to what it says in Pirkei Avos. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? It says, Chaviv Adam, man is precious. Shenivra b'tzalem, he was created in the image of Hashem. Chiba yisera nidas loy shenivra b'tzalem. A special chiba, a love was given to him that he was created in the image of God. As the pasuk says, ki b'tzalem elikim asadam, Hashem made man in the image of God. Then it goes on. Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru badim lamakam. Precious are the Jewish people that they are called children of Hashem. A special love was shown to Jewish people that they're called God's children. You are the sons, you are the children of Hashem. And finally, the Jewish people are precious because they were given very great vessels. What were they given? They were given the Torah. They were given the Torah, which the rest of mankind was not given the Torah. So he brings down from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, you know what it means that man was created in the image of Hashem? So he gives a mashal. I don't know if this is Reb Chaim Volozhiner, but to just explain what Reb Chaim Volozhiner is going to say. He says, take a child on Erev Shabbos. The mother is making chalas. And the kid says, I want to make challahs. So the mother says, okay, you know what, clean the table and put a little water in the thing. So good. So the child does that. At night, the child says, oh, I baked challahs today with mommy. Yeah, everybody says, of course, you baked challahs. He put a little water in, he cleaned the table. But to make him feel good, so we say that he baked the challahs. Or another marshal, you have a locomotive that is pulling 100 cars, comes along a fly, and the fly says, you know what, I'm going to help the locomotive with these 100 cars, and one wing of the fly he puts to the back, to the caboose at the end of the train, he's pushing the 100 cars. Those mishalim is what Hashem does with man. The question is, for example, there was in the Beis HaMikdash a fire. A fire came down Min HaShemayim. Three times in history we saw that fire. Once was by the Yimei Miluim, where they dedicated the Mishkan, so you could see the fire come down from Hashem. The other two times was once by Manoach, and was once by Gideon. Three times in history we saw the fire come down. But even the every other day when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, there was a fire, we didn't see it. There's a mitzvah for us to bring a fire on the Mizbeach. And the Chinuch wants to know, what's the mitzvah? Of course you have to bring a fire. You have to bring karbanas, sacrifices. How are you going to sacrifice that unless you have a fire? No, there's still a mitzvah, even without sacrifices. So the Chinuch explains this idea, that Hashem is bringing down a fire from heaven. But Hashem cloaks everything in secrecy. So you might think that Hashem is doing that by what we call a nes nister, a hidden nes. No, he does it even by a nes nigla. For example, what's the biggest nes nigla we could think of? Kriyas Yamsuf. A wall happened in the water, and the Jews were able to go through the Yamsuf. So that's a open miracle, a revealed miracle, not a hidden miracle, but a revealed one. But the pasuk says, "Vayosem, vayoylech Hashem asayam beruach kodem kol alayla vayosem asayam lecharava vayivaku amayim." The Hashem took a easterly wind, and the wind blew against the Yamsuf, and a split came. And I think I once read in a non-religious book, yes, there was a phenomena in the time when the Jews left Egypt, but it was caused by, like a tsunami. There was a wind, and the pasuk itself writes that Hashem took the wind. But so the pshat is that the chinuch says, the sefer chinuch says, that even when Hashem does an open miracle, but he covers it up, he camouflages it. The same thing when a human being does something in the world. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that Hashem made man in his image means he gives man the power. No, there's not one person in the world who has recreated a drop of oil. You'll tell a person, take oil and make, maybe they can make something synthetic from nothing, take yesh me'ayin, like Hashem did. Take from nothing and make a drop of oil. You can't, it's not possible. So, but yet they can shoot, they can have an atomic bomb, they can shoot a satellite. Man, Hashem, if you think of what the world's all about, what man does is like a fly's wing. It's like a locomotive that with a fly. It's like the child who's doing chalas, and he's not doing anything, but he thinks he's doing chalas. That's the same with us. So memela that by the question is near Chanukah, what do we have to find a pach of shemen? Why didn't Hashem put down a fire on the menorah and the oil will burn in the menorah? What do we need this? The answer is Hashem wants man to think. Hashem, that's chaviv adam. Hashem treats man as if he's a partner. It's like a father taking a son into his business. The son doesn't even know a thing about the business. When they make $1 million, my son, my partner, he didn't do anything. That's how Hashem treats man. And up to the point, so that's what it says, bonim atem, your children, Hashem treats you like a child, like the child making chalas. You think you're not doing a thing. Hashem makes you think. He wants you to feel good about what's going on. So we're chaviv, that's what the Rambam means, that there's no bigger mitzvah that's chaviv. It doesn't mean the mitzvah is chaviv. It means this mitzvah shows us how chaviv we are in Hashem's eyes. And the final point is that Hashem allows us, oh, this will end because we have to end, we're running out of time. Hashem allows us even that when the halacha is wrong, Hashem says we have to listen to what the Beis Din says. The Gemara relates a story where Nitzchu Nibonai, the children of Hashem, you won me over. The Rabbi Lazar had an argument with the Chachamim. They were more than Rabbi Lazar. We should, and Hashem says, you know who's the right? Rabbi Lazar is right. What is the halacha not like Rabbi Lazar? Because all the other Chachamim said against Rabbi Lazar. And it says in the Torah, you Hashem told us in the Torah, we have to go with a majority. Hashem says, you're right, you won. And the Chinuch, I saw it this week, says that they were wrong. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar, like Hashem. But Hashem lets the partner take over the business. That you think, chaviv, that's where we end in Pirkei Avos, chaviv and Yisrael shenen nitna lam kli chemda. You were given these precious vessels, means refers to the Torah. And in the Torah, Hashem lets man, if we could use such a word, they use the word today, trump, like man trumps Hashem. Man wins. Hashem says, you won. My children, you won over me. You're going like Rabbanan, majority rule, against Rabbi Lazar, who's really right in this question.
So that's the Chaviv. When we say Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Chaviva, means Hashem allowed the Hashmonoim to think, even though it's Allah Nisim, Allah Purkim, Allah Gvuris, Allah Chuvus, Allah Chomish, Allah said, you did all these miracles, but then at the end it says, and then your children came, and they lit candles in your, and they purified the Beis HaMikdash. That's all what Hashem let us, like children, think that we're doing something. So you know why Hashem made the miracle with the Pach Shemen? Because otherwise, it would be a miracle, an open miracle, that Hashem made the menorah burn. No, He wanted the man to think, because it's Chaviv. We're Chaviv to Hashem. He wants us to think we're a Shutif, we're a partner. If a person says Vayichulu, Shabbat, Friday night, it says Nasa Shutif in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a partner. What kind of partner? You're like a fly. In my celebrations, you're like creating the world, you're doing nothing. Hashem wants us to think that we also are something. That's the chavivus that Chanukah showed us, mitzvah Chanukah, that it's chaviv. That's the pshat that he wanted to say.
Thanks.